Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. All right, who's in charge? Drew, come on, man. Got things to do.
Oh, yeah,
to go.
It's time, isn't it?
Holy cow. Good grief. Here we are just chit-chatting, and time's a ticking. Hey, everybody, I'm Kyle Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making today make sense is what we do, we hope.
Indeed. And I am Kimberly Adams. Thank you for joining us for Economics on Tap this Friday on the YouTube live stream, on Discord, or the podcast if you're listening later. This is where we have a drink at the end of the week. We catch up on some news. And of course, we play our little game half full, half empty.
We should probably say here, and by we should probably say, I mean Bridget Bodner is making me because she's in charge. For those of you who missed the pod or missed the social or what have you announcements of the last 48 hours, Kimberly Adams is the new permanent, going to be here forever with you co-host of this podcast. And I just want to make sure everybody knew that because there's been a little bouncing around. We get that, you know, it's corporations take time to do things, even public radio corporations. But Kimberly's here. And look, I couldn't be more pleased because I get somebody to be here with me all the time. And that's the way it is. And I just want to make sure everybody knew that. That's all.
And I'm happy to be here.
Yes.
Thank you.
What are you drinking? I heard the pop of a cork actually, right?
Yes. Yes. I am drinking some red wine. It's a Zinfandel. This one is,
nice.
Let's see. Yeah.
Do you do like wine tastings and stuff?
No. I mean, yeah. Also pandemic. I mean, I've done them in the past, but
that's true.
I haven't done much of anything. So, yeah, it's a carnivore Zinfandel from your nice. State of California.
There you go. Look,
and I'm very excited about my new wine glass because I got this from somebody on Craigslist who was offloading all these fancy wine glasses. And you know me, I love like thrifting my glassware because then I don't have to feel so badly when I break it. I saw a bunch of really good drinks. What are you drinking though?
I'm in a beer rut. I'm having my Stone FML 8.5 ABV hazy double IPA, and I'm doing it because I'm having dinner with my mother-in-law later, and you need to pregame that a little bit. That's all I'm saying. And that's why I don't recommend this podcast to my mother-in-law. Let me just say, no, I'm teasing you. All right, let's do some news. So first of all, following up on what we had talked about, you had talked about yesterday about the Florida bill about sexual orientation and gender identity. Don't say gay is the nomenclature. And we talked about Disney and how much money it makes out of the state of Florida and how the company has, under the leadership of new CEO Bob Chapek, Chapek has not been standing out and speaking out about this bill, and he has had the company has had a head-snapping change of heart. Chapek now has paused all political donations in the state of Florida. More importantly, has written to his company and said, "Look, I have to take a stand on this stuff, and I failed you." Now, we should say that while that is welcome, a corporation having a conscience, there's been all kinds of reporting the last couple of days about Disney officials intervening in the editing process in Pixar movies to make them more, shall we say, generic.
Less gay.
Less gay. There you go. And it's the employees are pissed. It's really interesting to see that happening. And they're being super public about it. Super public about it. So,
you know, the law is is past, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I guess, okay, but in some ways the damage is done. And right. I mean, since you brought that up, I'll actually jump to one of mine because we were also talking about the law in Texas and how they are basically turning parents who are giving their transgender kids gender-affirming therapy or allowing them to have it to Child Protective Services. There was a story in the New York Times today where when it went to court. Oh, what were you going to say?
Oh, well, that has been stayed just this afternoon.
Oh,
enforcement of that has been stayed. Yeah.
Oh, good.
By a court, yeah. So just for everybody's FYI.
Awesome. Yeah. Because it was interesting to read this Times piece where they were saying in that case, which I guess now it has been stayed, that it was like the top priority for CPS to go after these parents. And once again, here you had a whole group of businesses starting to speak out against it. Axios has this piece, Apple, Google, IKEA, and several other companies called on the Texas government to drop this. And it will be interesting how much corporate pushback there is to all of this. Oh, my sister's in the chat.
Ooh, wow. 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 To be followed shortly thereafter by my mother-in-law. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Is it Dr. Nicole Adams? Is that your sister?
Yes, it is. Yes, nice. It is.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Dr. Adams. That's great. That's great. How about that?
I know. Was on the live stream.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, goodness. Okay, I'm sorry. I interrupted your news fixes. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. So anyway, there's the Disney thing, which, you know, I mean, companies have a history of, you know, pausing political donations at a time when it's politically convenient for them to do so and then picking them up later when nobody's noticing. So, you know, there are groups that will keep an eye on this, and I think we should keep an eye on those groups because we will see whether or not Disney is serious about this. Item number two for me. In the journal today, I will give you this specific news item and then the larger story. Stoli Vodka, Stolichnaya, wants you to know it's not actually from Russia, right? It actually is not. It is Latvian, blended, filtered, and bottled in Latvia by a Luxembourg-based group. I point that out because there has been a rash of boycotting of I hesitate to say Russian businesses here, but businesses that capitalize on being of Russian flavor here, but really they have no connection to Russia. Kristen Schwab did a story for us on Marketplace like a week ago about how restaurants in New York are getting clobbered because people don't want to patronize, you know, Russian flavored restaurants, even though they're not connected to Russia. And that's the wrong thing to do. That is just the wrong thing to do. And, you know, it's like the whole, don't do that. Don't do that. Patronize these businesses. They're hardworking. They're good, solid American companies paying taxes, all this stuff. And just because they're called, you know, I don't know, caviar, whatever, don't boycott them. That's no good. And I just, because it can go too far.
I was in college when 9/11 happened. I was a freshman in college. And there was this amazing coffee shop right across the street from the journalism school where it had all these like leather couches and fireplaces. And it was like the place like to go if you were in the J school. And it was called Osama's.
Oh, man. It's all over.
I don't have to tell you what happened to that poor man and his business after 9/11.
Right.
And it was so sad. And don't do that, people.
Yeah. On a lesser scale, it's freedom fries instead of French fries. It's the whole deal. It is a not attractive characteristic of the American population. You know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. On a lighter note, my last item is this. I'm sort of an exploration and adventure geek. And so the idea that Ernest Shackleton's ship, the Endurance, had been found was to me amazingly cool. And if you don't know who Shackleton and the Endurance were, look them up. It's a crazy, crazy story. But they found the ship after 10-ish years at the bottom of the Weddell Sea in Antarctica. But so there's been all kinds of coverage of that and the exploration and all this stuff. But there's just this super fun article in the New York Times today about the sea life that has taken over that wreck. And because the water's so cold, it's really well preserved, the ship is. And so all these sea creatures have taken up residence on the Endurance. And it's cool. The headline of this piece is, "The new captain of the Endurance shipwreck is an anemone." And I just love it. And we'll put it on the show page. And it's super fun. It's so cool. It's so cool. It's like better than the Titanic, I think. But anyway.
Well, yeah, because more of the people lived. Such a
all the people lived. Every single person lived, which is crazy.
And I was reading about this when they started the expedition, this particular expedition, and they were talking about how the way that they handled that is taught in like management courses now in leadership.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of how he kept his crew together, how he divvied up responsibilities, and how it's an amazing story. So yeah, that's cool.
If you don't know it, read about it. It's crazy. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
People are very impressed at your ability to say anemone on the first try.
Well, I've only had a half a beer. So you know.
Okay, so in addition to the Texas story, which we already covered, I just want to flag again the Brittany Griner case. She's still in Russia. There are a couple of other Americans who are still in Russia. And there's a really good piece by Jason Rezaian in the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. And if you don't remember, Jason Rezaian was the journalist who was held captive in Iran for many, many years. And he has a new podcast out about his experience as well. But he talks, quite thoughtfully about what it's like to be kind of a political pawn in between countries and the risks that she faces as a hostage and how he experienced that. And, these are humans who get caught up in these political machinations. What?
Well, so I this is a legit question, just because I've been seeing some, the tweets going by and socials going by and all this, that there's some desire by Griner's wife to minimize the attention that she's getting in the Western press so as to facilitate a possible solution. Have you seen any of that?
I haven't, but it's often a pretty common strategy for families who have a family member held hostage, that the more attention the story gets, the more leverage it gives whoever's holding them to make more demands.
Right.
And so you have to kind of strike this balance. I do a lot of work with the National Press Club, and we've been working to try to secure the freedom of Austin Tice, who's been held captive in Syria for more than 7 years. And, his family is constantly navigating that dynamic of pressure on the administration, pressure on the Syrian government, attention in the media, and it's hard to know what actually works. Okay, the other one. Still on sports, weird pivot, but you said a couple of weeks ago that you didn't think there was going to be baseball, and it looks like there's going to be baseball.
Boy, was I wrong. What is something I thought I knew but later found out I was wrong about, huh? Yeah.
That we were going to have baseball this year. So, it looks like we're going to have opening day, I think, on April 7th is when it's tentatively scheduled. The owner-imposed lockout is over. I'm just reading from CBS here. The Players Association struck a deal on Thursday. At 99 days, this lockout is the second longest work stoppage in baseball history, behind only the 1994 through 95 players strike, which was 232 days.
So three thoughts on that. Number one, go Yankees. Number two, my oldest son.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly what my
sister
just said.
There you go. Yankees. Well, there you go. Go Yankees. Exactly. Go
Which
Yankees.
Is a
well,
betrayal.
Now your sister is my favorite doctor. Number two, my oldest son whatever. My oldest son, who's a Dodgers fan, will be really pleased to hear this. But number three, and this is completely self-serving, my commute home goes by Dodger Stadium every day. Literally, like, I drive to the front gate of Dodger Stadium and take a left, and now it's going to screw up my commute. And so that's why I'm pissed. That's all I got. It's all about me. I'm just saying.
All right.
That's where
play a game? Oh, wait. No, we can't play a game yet.
No, we can't play a game. We got to do a thing first. And here's the thing. Here's what we got to do. We got to take, yes. We're going to do it in 45 seconds, and we're going to point this out. 2 years ago today is when the World Health Organization declared that this was, in fact, a pandemic. Tom Hanks tested positive with his wife, Rita Wilson. The NBA suspended its season. Donald Trump gave that very bizarre speech about shutting things down, and it became an official pandemic. And we decided that we had to go from weekly to daily on this podcast, and all y'all stepped up. We tried something. The powers that be at Marketplace let us do it. And you guys answered. You are here for us when you listen. You are here for us when you watch the stream. And you are here for us when we ask for money, which is what we are doing right now. We get it if you can't donate. We get it if you can't. Yeah. But if you can, we need you now because the news is not slowing down. It's just not.
Certainly not. And like you said, you know, it's what you can. And the nice thing about public radio is that it is public. And I know we're podcasting now, but the mission is the same. You know, we're trying to get the information to as many people as we can. And we do the best we can to do the reporting, to talk to people, and to present it in a way that's easy to understand. So your support is super important. And we're grateful for it.
So if you can, marketplace.org/givesmart. And we appreciate it. There will be at some point in the future in one of these little pleas that we do, there will be some swag, some banana pants, some Kai Piave glasses. I don't know. Whatever. Well, we need a Kimberly thing. That's what we need, frankly.
Oh, gosh. I'm a little bit terrified to think Kimberly what they thing. Would come up with.
Well,
with what that would be.
I don't know. But we're going to put the very bright minds at Marketplace Gift Central on a Kimberly thing. Anyway, let's play a game. Drew, hit it.
Yes.
Woo. All right, half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostedt is our host. Ready, begin.
Are you half full or half empty on the TSA extending the mask mandate on public transportation?
All the way full.
I am completely half full. I'm fine with that, yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Number one, it has to be, those are confined spaces, right? Trains, planes, automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Just be smart out there.
Well, and again, there are still a lot of immunocompromised people who need that protection. There are still parents who have kids that cannot get vaccinated yet. So, all the way full.
Yep.
Coming in 2024.
Wait. Oh, my goodness. Mary Lynn Baker, plus one for Jasper pants. I'm just saying, there's going to be a Kimberly swag here at some point. So there's Jasper pants. Right. Sorry. Drew, go ahead.
Announced for 2024, are you half full or half empty on an electric VW bus?
Oh, that's so funny. That just came out the other day. So VW buses are iconic from the 1960s. I suppose, look, anything electric, I'm full on, actually. Yeah, I'm full, for sure.
I'll go half full. Good luck finding the supply chain functioning enough to get you all the
batteries
stuff.
Batteries and, you know, all that stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
We're kind of screwed.
But yeah. Half full.
All right. After this week's executive order, are you half full or half empty on cryptocurrency regulation?
That pauses me waiting for you, kiddo. Yeah, go ahead.
I know. Okay. So for people who maybe didn't follow this week, President Biden signed an executive order basically asking several government agencies to have a look at cryptocurrencies and how that industry is working, where the opportunities are for risk to the broader financial system, for corruption, obviously because Russia is trying to potentially use cryptocurrencies to get around sanctions. People are worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, I think it was Marquet posted in the chat that, Reuters is reporting that Russians are liquidating crypto in the UAE trying to find safe havens. Again, people trying to get around these sanctions. So the Biden administration is basically calling for these agencies to look at it, including potentially a federal digital currency.
Hmm.
Half full. They've got to make progress on this. There's too much money involved at this point. But at the same time, this isn't action yet. It's a call basically for research.
Yeah, I'm half full as well. I think crypto is currently the wild, wild west of the financial world, and it will get ugly until somebody steps in and says, okay, let's talk about this in a sensible way. So that's where I am.
Okay, supply chain problems may be coming for Girl Scout cookies. Are you half full or half empty on getting your Thin Mints this year?
No. Samoas, man. What? Thin Mints, nothing. Samoas.
So, some of us have started working in person at the DC Bureau, and we kind of pooled our resources and ordered, like, I don't know, 25 boxes of Girl Scout cookies or so for the office.
25?
Jesus,
that's a lot of cookies.
It's a whole lot of cookies. And so the little girl who's, I guess her grandparents live in my building, she came with her little wagon over the weekend. And so she was like, I remember you bought a lot of cookies from me last year, too. And I was like, yes, I did. So we have a good supply of Thin Mints, of Samoas. We got some lemon ones. We are stocked in the Marketplace DC Bureau for the coming year.
I'm going to have to engineer a trip east to go to the Bureau. Holy cow. I love Girl Scout cookies. What can I tell you? There we go.
Okay, but the supply chain question, I'm going to go half full. I know it's an issue, but I feel like the Girl Scouts can push through. On their honor, they will try.
Yeah, they will. We know they will. We know they will. For sure. Next.
Okay, are you half full or half empty on daylight savings time?
Oh, interesting. I have thoughts.
You go ahead.
Okay. Number one, I'm going to be the pedant here. It is daylight saving, no S, time, just for the record. Accuracy is important. Number two, I'm all the way full. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to my wife about this earlier today. The whole, like, oh my God, I'm so tired and the kids aren't sleeping and the dogs want to have dinner early and blah, blah, blah. That's an artifact of social media, and we all have to complain about everything. Back in the day, the clocks change, you were groggy for a day, and then you went on about your business. And oh, by the way, it's lighter later and that's fun. I'm full. Full. Sorry, was that too dramatic?
Oh, it was very, like, get off my lawn-ish, but, you know, I appreciate it.
Okay, fine. I'll take that.
I've heard some really compelling arguments against, you know, daylight savings time. Wait, what was it? Daylight saving time?
Saving, no S. Already. Yeah.
Yeah, daylight saving time. I've heard some pretty strong arguments against it. I'm just going to say half. Sure. I don't have a strong opinion. I'm sorry. Someone just said in the chat that we need to get you a cane.
Oh, God. All you people, man. So glad you're here for this. Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious.
That was funny.
That was good stuff.
Okay. Let's see. That is it for... Wait, we have another game. We do.
We do have another game. Let's talk about the other game. So here's what happened.
Yes.
Go ahead. You start.
Yeah. Last week, planning ahead for like the big announcement and everything.
The big announcement. Remind everybody what the big announcement was. Go ahead. Remind everybody.
The big announcement is that I am the new co-host for Make Me Smart, and I'm very happy to be so. As we were preparing for this last week, we played another game after the show. Which, what do you even call that game? It's,
Bridget said, would you rather? And I don't think that's the game she's thinking of. Because would you rather kind of implies a little bit of, shall we say, naughtiness. And I don't think that's what we meant. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, it's a very PG, G-rated game played.
It is very G. It is
this or that.
G.
Thank you, Steven. Yeah. Thank you, Steven. This or that.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
this or that. Not
this or that.
Oh, my God. Huh.
How much of that beer have you had, Kai?
No, come on. And you're drinking wine? Shut up. All right, anyway, go ahead.
All right, so we played this or that, where they presented us with two options, and we were supposed to decide which one we would prefer. And some of them were a little obvious, but others were more challenging and surprising. So I think that video is going to be up or shared a little bit later.
It's going to be on our socials. I'm sure it's going to be on Twitter and Insta, and obviously on our show page. I have not yet seen that video, so I'm oh so curious to remember what I said. Anyway,
it took a couple of attempts for us to get it right. So,
it kind of did. That was all me. It was the getting going was a little rough, and that was all me. But you guys don't need to know that. right. Yes. Anyway, all right. Let's go. Holy cow.
Okay. That is it for us. Emily McCune says it's going to be up this evening. Thank you, Emily. Okay. That is it for us today. The show will be back on Monday. And as we mentioned earlier, today is the 2-year anniversary of when the pandemic officially kicked off for a lot of us. And shout out to my sister in the chat who was working in nursing homes in New York throughout the pandemic and, you know, saw a lot of really hard things. But we do have one more favor, which is to consider sending us your answer to the Make Me Smart question, which I know we always ask you to do, but this is a little bit different. So the Make Me Smart question is, what is something you thought you knew that you later found out you were wrong about? But if you don't mind, think about answering that question from the framing of the pandemic. Like, what is something you thought you knew heading into this pandemic that you later found out that you were wrong about? We'd be really interested to hear your thoughts on that.
And as I sit here trying to think about it, I don't know, because it was such a just, oh my God. I mean, all the stuff that happened, and I don't even know. But I'm going to think about it, because it's a super good question. Anyway, send us those thoughts or anything else on your mind as a voice memo or an email at makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can just pick up the phone, call us, leave us a voice message, 508-827-6278, 508-UB-SMART. 2 years, crazy.
Yeah. Whew. Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera and Marque Green. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie, and today's episode was engineered by the always amazing Drew Jostad, and the senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
The team behind our game, Half Full, Half Empty, also This or That, which is really not Would You Rather, because that's a whole different game, is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by Drew Jostad. The director of On Demand and the person in charge of all things is Donna Tam.
Here we
go. On a Friday. On a
what
Friday.
What kind of games do you play, Kai?
Whoa, hey, no. Wrong podcast.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.